Good evening, everyone. Hope you're all enjoying it so far. Andy's just asked me to lead an hour-long Greek study into the original Nativity story, so... No, not really. yes for that! What I'm going to do is just take a few moments of our time this evening to really give us a sort of Christmas thought for the season. And hopefully beyond, but I just really want to give us a thought that we can keep in our minds for the whole of the Christmas season. In his book, The Sense of an Ending, Julian Barnes opens with the words, "I don't believe in God, but I miss him." And I think that sentiment reflects how many people feel today. There's that sort of, we don't have faith in God, but then there's a disharmony between how we actually feel about that, because we miss God. And the idea of God. At Christmas, it's one of the few times a year when the blinds are lifted and God comes back into view again. Alongside Santa and his reindeer, and alongside all the mouth-watering feasts we serve up to friends and family, we hear a story going on, and we sing songs like we have done today of joy and peace, forgiveness, and a God-King who came to give the world the greatest gift that it's ever been given. So what does it all mean? I think inside all of us is that sense that Barnes communicates so well in the beginning of his book, for it all to be true, and indeed a longing for God himself. I remember I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I walked into the kitchen in our home in Reading, and I walked up to my mum and said, "Mum, where's God?" And she looked at me a bit alarmed, and she said, "Well, God's all around us." And so, like many children of that age, I took that literally. And so I took my arm and I put it to the test. And I pushed it up as close as I could to my face. And I looked along and then I looked at the tip of my finger, and you can try this. Of course, all focus is lost and you're just left with a little blur that you can see all over your body. And so I thought, there he is, just like Mum said. And that childlike thought was a great comfort to me growing up, and I'd often sort of, in a moment of panic or being frightened, I'd stare at myself and see this blurry line and think, it's all right, God's still all around me. And so on occasion growing up, I think as many of us do, I would pray to God. I didn't know anything about God, I didn't go to church, but he was all around me, and so on occasion I would pray to him. And I remember vividly kneeling on my bed in my tiny box room, staring out of my window, hands clasped together, and I prayed with all my might in primary school, "Dear God, please make Sarah Condy fancy me back." And it didn't happen. Another time, it was when the local shopkeeper caught me stealing sweets from his shop, and after a clip round the ear, I ran home as fast as I could, climbed onto my bed again, put my hands together, and in the same way said, "Dear God, please don't let my mum and dad find out." A prayer that would be revisited many times growing up. But you see, at the heart of the Christian faith is the story of creation, that we were made by another for another. And as a result of that, all people everywhere have this built-in homing device, which at some point in our lives causes us, like 5-year-old me, to say, "Where is God?" C.S. Lewis puts it really well. He says, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." So like I said, Christmas time is when God comes back into our eyeline. And the Christmas story is the story of a miracle, and we know that. And so I think for many of us, with that story going on at Christmas, we'll come to something like this, or we'll go to a Christmas Day service, or even just in a quiet moment during the Christmas season, and we can bring ourselves to God and find ourselves asking for a miracle. And maybe we come and we ask God to heal a broken heart or to rescue and restore a failing relationship. And those are good things to ask. But I think with that sort of request, for so many of us, running in parallel to that is a tension. And that tension is, how can I just come to God and ask for a miracle? I don't even know if I believe in God. I certainly don't go to church every week. How can I ask for a miracle? And so I'd like to make a suggestion, and I'd like to suggest the problem isn't that we want too much from Jesus, it's that we want too little. We want a miracle, but Jesus wants to give us so much more. Jesus wants to satisfy that heart cry that misses God, and he wants to call us friends and family and children. In the 17th chapter of Luke, we're told there's a story of 10 men suffering from leprosy, and they came just like this, seeking a miracle from Jesus, and they all got one, and they were all healed. But only one man came back to know Jesus. And so I encourage you this Christmas, enjoy the presents and your friends and your family and your gravy-sopped roast potatoes. But if you find yourself, like I did, asking that question of where is God, I'd like to suggest the story of Christmas is pointing the way for us. The birth of Jesus is the news for all people everywhere of hope, of peace with God, joy in the Holy Spirit, of being reconciled. It's the bridging of that gap that causes our hearts to miss him. So remember, the problem isn't that you've asked too much from Jesus. The chances are you haven't asked enough. May God be with us all in this festive season. Have a great Christmas.